And it's only in our ignorance we're not noticing it. But why am I disturbed with that? Why that disturbs me? Why the problems of somebody else are so disturbing to me? Or why this particular circumstance is so disturbing to me? What's wrong with me? Yeah. Anyone else?
It's about the attitude, isn't it? What we started with is about the attitude. You know, you have a positive attitude, negative attitude. And according to that, you can either advance in spiritual life and material life. And you can take the example also from Bhagavad Gita, the attitude of Arjuna, and then of Duryodhana. And also, when you, especially here, because we're all devotees, you could have saintly attitude, compassion, etc. And we take example again from Arjuna, how he was, and then how demonic attitudes of Duryodhana, which led to his downfall. So, there's a comparison there. And I think, like I said, you were faulting your material life and your spiritual life.
Yeah. Thank you. That's very important understanding. If you do things in the wrong way, you ruin both your material and spiritual life. If you do things right in Krishna consciousness, if you have right attitude, then you benefit both materially and spiritually. Yes, thank you, Guru. That's very important.
We analyze the same qualities of Arjuna as opposed to the demonic qualities of
Duryodhana.
And then we can sort of see where we want to align ourselves. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that if we're in the mode of goodness at least, well, as you're saying, the minimum we'll get is the heavenly planets. If we align ourselves with the demonic qualities, obviously we'll get further into hellish planets and incarceration.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, this life is always a Kurukshetra, and we always have a choice. Which side are we taking? Is it side of Kauravas or Pandavas? Which side do we want to be on in this ongoing battle of good and evil? Thank you. Prabhu?
Yeah, I like the point about resentment that we discussed about we should try and avoid being resentful ultimately to Krishna, because we should try and see that Krishna's actually the ultimate behind everything. He's the ultimate cause. So we should, like the first one, we should see that, you know, every situation has a reason happening, and we should try and look for the benefit inside of it.
Yes, thank you. So any resentment, anything we are unhappy with, ultimately boils down to our relationship with Krishna. So if we are unhappy, we are unhappy with Krishna. If we are resentful, that resentment is towards Krishna in the ultimate sense. Thank you. All right, so, and now, you know, sometimes I like to look at these sessions of Yoga of Success as a kind of yoga ladder, because in the yoga you have certain stages, right? And what is the first stage in yoga?
Yama.
Yama, yes. Yama means what? What is the meaning of Yama? It's very easy to remember, I can tell you. What is the name of God of Death?
Yamaraj.
Yamaraj. So what Yama stands for?
Death.
Death, right. Yama means death. So what this first stage of yoga refers to? What is Yama?
Realization of death.
Realization of death, what does it mean?
The living. The living beings. Conscious.
Okay, so what does it mean particularly? What do we do in the stage of Yama? Like, Bhakti Yoga is also yoga. So what do we do? Which practices are related to Yama aspect in yoga, in Bhakti Yoga?
Is it breathing?
No.
Controlling
that comes,
senses?
Remembering Krishna at the time of death.
No. Yama means things which make you mortal. Right? What are the things which make us mortal?
The body.
Materialistic activities. So
eating,
what
mating, sleeping, depending.
Yes. So what do we do in Bhakti Yoga? How do we
regulate?
Yeah, how do we regulate the activities which make us mortal?
Falling down. regulations.
Thank you. Following four agata principles. So this is yama in bhakti yoga. So following 4X and then niyama, something which makes us rather immortal, is?
Chanting.
Chanting Hare Krishna, yes. So this is the first, like, you get first initiation, you promise to your Guru Maharaj, yama and niyama, follow 4X and chant 16 rounds minimum of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, right? So I like to look at these sessions of Yoga of Success in the same way. So yesterday's topic was referring to the yama. And it's also interesting, you know, because, you know, I come from Russian-speaking origin, and in Russian language, the word yama means like hole in the ground, which is like grave. So, you know, we were discussing about the points which are putting us in grave, right? And how to avoid, how to avoid all the stuff which brings us down, right? So this is what we were, and we were discussing yesterday, and today we'll be discussing what elevates us, what helps us, what is the fuel which helps us to move forward in Krishna consciousness. So that's like niyama aspect. And that is what is called in professional language self-esteem, or Srila Prabhupada was calling it self-respect in rather old terms, but referring to the same phenomena. And that is actually believing in yourself. And this is very important in Krishna consciousness. One important thing to understand is that it's not enough to believe that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. We also have to believe that we are not the body, we are spirit souls, parts and parcels of Krishna, meant to be perfect, and focus on our spiritual strengths rather than on the material obstacles which come in the way. So, and we'll read a verse from the second chapter, because this theme is connected to the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and anyone who read the chapter knows that most of the chapter is dedicated to this single point, that we are not the material body, we are the spirit soul, eternal spirit soul. Of course, originally perfect, as Prabhupada explains. And all the limitations, all the imperfections or impurities are coming upon us because of the influence of material nature. And there is a way how this original perfection, which is dormant within all of us as spiritual beings, coming out and becomes manifested. And that is very important for all of us to understand and use that for our spiritual development. And so we will read in this regard text number 3. The Sanskrit says, Klaibhyam asmagam aparta naitat vayupapadyate kshudram hridayador palyam tyakta tishta parantapa. So this is Krishna speaking to Arjuna, and so he says, O son of Pritha, do not yield to this degrading impotence. It does not become you. Give up such petty weakness of heart and arise, O chastiser of the enemy. And Srila Prabhupada explains, in the purport, Arjuna was addressed as the son of Pritha, who happened to be the sister of Krishna's father Vasudev. Therefore, Arjuna had a blood relationship with Krishna. If the son of a Kshatriya declines to fight, he is a Kshatriya in name only, and if the son of a Brahmana acts impiously, he is a Brahmana in name only. Such Kshatriyas and Brahmanas are unworthy sons of their fathers. Therefore, Krishna did not want Arjuna to become an unworthy son of a Kshatriya. Arjuna was the most intimate friend of Krishna, and Krishna was directly guiding him on the chariot. But in spite of all these credits, if Arjuna abandoned the battle, he would be committing an infamous act. Therefore, Krishna said that such an attitude in Arjuna did not fit his personality. Very interesting point, once again. Therefore, Krishna said that such an attitude in Arjuna did not fit his personality. Arjuna might argue that he would give up the battle on the grounds of his magnanimous attitude for the most respectable Bhishma and his relatives, but Krishna considered that sort of magnanimity mere weakness of heart. Such false magnanimity was not approved by any authority. Therefore, such magnanimity or so-called non-violence should be given up by persons like Arjuna under the direct guidance of Krishna. So once again, the translation, O son of Pritha, do not yield to this degrading impotence. It does not become you. Give up such petty weakness of heart and arise, O chastiser of the enemy. So, very simple question, what Krishna is doing here? Is he discouraging or encouraging? Yes, he is definitely encouraging Arjuna. Is Arjuna encouraged or discouraged at that point? He is discouraged. So, because this is a practical course, training course, we should look at this episode in Bhagavad Gita from a practical standpoint. Do we come across circumstances in our devotional life when we feel discouraged to fight? Because this is what Srila Prabhupada was saying, that what is Krishna consciousness? How did he define Krishna consciousness? Yeah, war on Maya. So once you take up to Krishna consciousness, you declare war against the influence of illusion. And sometimes we feel discouraged to fight, right? Yeah? How many of you feel sometimes discouraged to fight against Maya?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah. Some of us feel sometimes encouraged to fight, and most of the time discouraged. So it is very important to understand where the encouragement is coming from, right? So it is very clear where the encouragement is coming from in here, in this particular circumstance. It comes directly from Krishna. But what about us? What about ourselves? Where our encouragement is coming from. Anyway, let's just do a brief brainstorming. If we can have a brainstorming session again, and if we can have a volunteer. We can reflect on the words from Nectar of Devotion, where Srila Rupa Goswami lists six items which are favorable for the development of bhakti. And who remembers what is the first item? What is the very first? No, it's not the first.
Accept the things that are favorable.
No, it's not the first. Yes, what is the first one? Enthusiasm, yes. Utsaha nishaya daryat tat tat karma pravartanat. So the first...
Nectar of instruction.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. I say nectar of devotion?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. That was my mistake. Sorry to confuse you. So, you know, this is just a general title, enthusiasm, if you underline it. Yeah, so, enthusiasm. So, where it is coming from? So you can share your personal experiences. What enthuses you, what encourages you in, you know, to carry on in your devotional practices? Just one item at a time.
Other devotees.
So sadhu sangha. Yes.
Nice prasadam.
Oh, good. Sadhu sangha. Nice prasadam. Okay.
Nice kirtan.
Nice kirtans. Okay. Srila Prabhupada's books. More?
I think sometimes it's built in as well. Some people are naturally determined. I mean, one time they might be determined to do material things. And when their consciousness changes, then they are just as determined to do spiritual things. You know, they set spiritual goals for themselves, high goals. This is Prabhupada used to say, like, you know, you want to make £1 million.
Is it motivation?
Motivated. Self-motivated.
Okay. Self-motivation or motivation?
Self-motivation.
Self-motivation, okay. Okay.
Service. By doing service, you want to do more service. Results of service.
Okay. Yes, sir. Somebody else?
I think seeing Krishna's deity form is so beautiful, so that inspires me.
Okay. Beautiful deities?
Listening to lectures from my Guru Maharaj, so instructions.
Okay. Classes, yeah, lectures.
Sometimes it's more of the principle of Vedic Bhakti where you're sort of following the principles of what you've been given. By your guru, so like the instructions.
Yeah, guru's instructions.
Yeah. Glorifying other devotees.
Sorry?
Glorifying
other devotees. Okay.
Going to holy dhamma.
Okay.
Preaching.
Pilgrimages.
Preaching,
yeah. Okay, more?
Chanting.
Yeah, we have kirtans, but anyway, yeah, maybe you can add kirtans, chanting. It's similar.
I think sometimes as well, when you have some adversity, sometimes it can help you to be more enthusiastic because you don't want to, you know, you don't belong here in this material world.
Okay, interesting. Adversities?
Sometimes you can use Krishna as like subtle arrangement, like make you enthusiastic. But you may not be remembering Krishna, but such a situation, after you remember Krishna, so you can make you enthusiastic.
Okay, yes. Krishna's arrangements.
Yeah, Krishna's subtle arrangement which you did not.
Okay. Yeah. All right, thank you. Okay, so we have 13 items. Thank you, Guru. So if you would think of all the items, which would you define as the most important?
Sadhu Sangha.
Okay, let's see. Who thinks that sadhu sangha is the most important item of all? Okay. Anyone can explain?
Because it's like bhakti is kind of contagious. So if you're in
the association of other devotees, whatever they're feeling towards Krishna, it rubs off on you.
Okay.
It's actually all the other items is through sadhusanga that you develop.
Wonderful, yeah. Without sadhusanga, none of the other items can exist at all, right? You have no sadhus, no Krishna, no devotional service, nothing. So actually, our process of devotional service started because of sadhusanga, and it continues because of sadhusanga. Everything else we have because we have devotees. No devotees. Nothing is possible. So sadhusanga is the most important, yes. That's why Lord Chaitanya, when he lists five most powerful aspects of bhakti, anyone remembers the five? Yeah, living in a holy place then? Bhagavat Shravan, yes, Bhagavatam then? Deity worship, three then?
Residing in Mathura.
That we already said. Four?
Sadhu Sangha and
Nam Sankirtan. Anyone remembers which one comes first? No.
Sadhu Sangha.
Sadhu Sangha comes first again.
I guess.
Yeah. Sadhu Sangha, Nama Kirtana, Bhagavat Shravana, Mathura Vasi, Vishnu Murti, Shradaya Savana. That is the quote. So Sadhu Sangha comes first because nothing can exist without Sadhu Sangha. So, and in this sense, this was Arjuna's Sadhu Sangha because Krishna is the source of all the sadhus. Sad bhave, sadhu bhave cha. Because Lord and his devotees have similar nature. And this is what it means to be Krishna conscious, right? It means to have, you know, what is Krishna consciousness? Of course, one aspect is to think of Krishna, to remember Krishna, to think of how to serve Krishna. But what is the other aspect of Krishna consciousness? Which is very important, actually.
How to serve his devotees?
It's very simple. To have Krishna consciousness is to have consciousness of Krishna. That means to look at things in the same way as Krishna looks at things. To relate to everything in the same way as Krishna relates to everything. To have the same desires Krishna has, right? So this is very important aspect of Krishna consciousness. Why devotees preach? Why do devotees preach? Anyone can explain to us? Yeah, to please Krishna. Because what is the motivation for preaching? Compassion, right? And because Krishna is feeling compassionate towards the suffering conditioned souls, that's why a devotee is feeling compassionate, right? So this is just to help us understand how this is another aspect of Krishna consciousness. To look at everything through the eyes of the Lord. We have this term in Bhagavad Gita, Shastra Chakshu, to look everything through the eyes of scripture. But scriptures are explained or taught by the Supreme Lord. So it means to look at everything from his standpoint. So that is, in one sense, Srila Prabhupada explains, that's Vaishnava's understanding of unity with the Lord. It's not unity in impersonal sense when they speak about merging, but it's unity in purpose. There is one very beautiful painting done by artist Sharma, and it depicts Krishna and Arjuna on the chariot during the battle of Kurukshetra. And you might remember that Krishna is pointing at something with his finger, and Arjuna is pointing at the same target with his arrow. And so it's a really nice painting which shows how they act like one mind, even though they're different persons, but they have same purpose. And this is Krishna consciousness. And so, yes, in order to have perfect sadhu sangha, we have to learn from the Supreme Lord. And we were saying that sometimes we feel discouraged, right? And we need to learn how to encourage other devotees in the same way as Krishna does that. Because Krishna encourages Arjuna in such a way that Arjuna actually, if you read further Bhagavad Gita, you will see that Arjuna felt completely cornered in a loving way. He felt that now after Krishna counts on me so much, now when Krishna trusts me so much, I have no other choice but fight. So Arjuna was, you know, kind of cornered completely by Krishna, with so much trust and love Krishna had in him. Yeah. So yeah, we're talking many times about this love and trust in Krishna consciousness, and the way to learn that is to look at how Krishna is doing that, right? And of course, the way to avoid, the models to avoid would be completely opposite ones, again, right? So, let's see how Krishna is encouraging Arjuna. Again, looking at this verse. Maybe we can ask Prabhu one more time to put points down on the paper. So please listen carefully. O son of Prita, do not yield to this degrading impotence. It does not become you. Give up such petty weakness of heart and arise, O chastiser of the enemy. So we can put the title, encouraging. Just encouraging. So which elements Krishna is using here?
He's addressing Arjuna by calling him the chastiser of the enemy.
So can we say glorification?
Yeah, glorification.
Glorification. First glorification. Any other points? Anyone notice?
Family. Yeah, family. Oh, also not Prita.
Yeah, so family. Family ties. Okay. Any other points? It does not become you. So, how do we define it in a short form?
What Krishna is doing? Is it Kshatriya?
Reminding of his vernacular.
Yeah. Reminding of a higher of one's higher nature. Yeah, something like that. Okay.
He's instructing him to give up pity.
Okay, give up weakness, giving up weakness, okay, give up weakness.
Some motivation by saying arise.
Oh. Yeah.
Some motivation.
Okay, give up weakness. Motivating. Okay, all right, good. And now, maybe we can, you know, separate this one and write discouraging. And this should be simple. We take the opposites. So what would be the opposite of glorification? Criticism, okay. What is the opposite of family ties?
Treating someone as a stranger.
Huh?
Treating someone as a stranger.
Treating as a stranger, okay.
Alienating, okay.
And reminding of higher nature, what would be the opposite?
Making them feel worthless. Making them feel worthless.
Making feel worthless, okay.
Okay.
Okay, and number four. Give up weakness. What would be the...
Give into weakness.
Because give up weakness means capitalize on your strength, right? So what would be the opposite?
Capitalize on your weaknesses.
Yeah.
Highlighting weaknesses.
Okay. Highlight weaknesses. Weakness. And motivating. Demotivating.
Discouraging.
Demotivating. Set of instructions. You know, like now it's so popular how to ruin relationships and lose friends, right? So this is a perfect system how to destroy one's Christian consciousness. Right. Okay, so let's do a role play. We need one volunteer here. Who would play the role of discouraged devotee?
I like your nominations.
Okay, volunteer someone else. So, any volunteer who likes to play the role of discouraged devotee, and we'll try both on you. Both systems. I like how local devotees volunteering each other. All right, Jai. Well, let's give Robo a big hand. Thanks. Yeah, please take a seat. Now, you would have to think of a scenario, you know, something imaginary, and say, you know, how discouraged you are about anything related to Krishna consciousness and why, right? You can introduce yourself with fictional name.
My name is Jaggy D. I'm quite discouraged actually because basically I met these Krishna conscious devotees and I thought maybe they're all like they call themselves Uttams or something like that. But when I got to know them, they're a bit weird.